Walls are good at keeping stuff in, but ask any farmer, they're also good at keeping unwanted stuff out. It's easy to become trapped in walls we've constructed. Walls of prejudice, policies, and positions that keep others out. So, with all these walls, how do we advance God's kingdom here on earth?
Even though I live in a world, in another kingdom, that is antithetical and in total opposition to the very kingdom of God, if I'm going to be a citizen, I've got to live beyond the walls of this kingdom.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. Walls can seem great, depending on which side you're on, but you can't be a citizen of this world and God's kingdom, because His transcends the walls we've established. This week, we go back to a message Charles Tapp shared 3 years ago that still holds important truths for us today, with his message, Beyond the Walls.
As we begin our message this morning, I want you to go back to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, and I want us to begin by taking a look at just one verse, and that is verse 14. Look at what the Word of God says, and what? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And as I say to us from week to week, whenever we look at a portion of God's Word, in order for us to fully get the understanding that is intended, we need to look at it in its broader context. So as we look at Matthew chapter 4, we see here that Jesus has gathered his disciples together to meet with them privately. And as he begins to share with them, he gives them the picture of what Jerusalem is going to look like if they get closer to their impending destruction. He begins to share with them through this lens that this is going to ultimately come to an end as they know it today. He even says in his own words, referring to Jerusalem, he says, no stone shall be left upon another. To which they respond with this question. Jesus, then tell us when all of this is going to take place. What is going to be the end and the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple? And this is what he says to them. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus proceeds to provide for them a list of events, a list of occurrences that are going to take place that are going to ultimately lead up to this time of the end. For instance, he says, false Christs will arise and appear and deceive many. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nation. There'll be an onslaught of natural disasters, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. Persecution, he says, of believers is going to be at an all-time high. And then he says, there are going to be many well-meaning individuals who are going to be deceived by false prophets. And in the minds of the disciples, they think that Christ is only talking about Jerusalem. They think that he's only talking about the impending destruction that is going to fall upon them. But what Jesus does, he uses this as a lens to get them to see what is also going to come about when the end of time will come, when the end of world's history has come, because they are intertwined. For you see, in a very profound sense, one sheds light on the other. And it is at this juncture, without any fanfare, without any grand announcement, Jesus makes this powerful declaration in Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end will come. Now, whenever you read this in Matthew chapter 24, when you get to this point, it sounds like things are out of order. It sounds like things are somewhat disconnected from what has been said previously. But in order to really come to grips with what Jesus is talking about here, we first have to have an understanding of what does Jesus mean when he says the kingdom of God. What is this kingdom that he's talking about? And although Jesus' preaching and teaching covered a wide range of subject matter, when you look at the Gospels and all that Jesus taught, they all fall under the heading of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Everything else in the Gospels is a way of illustrating what the kingdom of God is really all about. From his miracles, where he reveals the power of the kingdom, to his parables, where he demonstrates the nature of the kingdom. They all have one primary goal, and that is to help his audience to gain a better understanding of what the kingdom of God is like. And see, it's hard for us today to truly come to an understanding of what kingdoms are all about, especially here in the United States, because we don't have kings in the United States. We have presidents. We don't live in a kingdom. But in biblical times, a king was one of the highest authority. The king had sovereign over the entire kingdom. He could ask his citizens to do whatever he wanted, and they would have to do it. And all of their property ultimately belonged to the king. That's not the way it is today in this country, for we live in a democratic society. So when Jesus wants to explain to them the place that God is to have in their lives, he chooses the analogy of the king and of kingdom to help them to understand that God is to have the highest authority in their lives. So when he talks about the kingdom of God, also referred to in some places as the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about a place as much as Jesus is talking about the place that God is to have in our lives. Because when it comes to kingdom, it's all about reign. It's all about rulership. And when it comes to the kingdom of God in our lives, it simply refers to our willingness, listen, to give God first place, full reign in our lives. Every time we pray that portion of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, where it says, thy kingdom what? Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Each time we pray that prayer, we're acknowledging the fact that in order for the kingdom of God to live in this world, it must first take root in our hearts. For the kingdom of God, please don't miss this today, is all about us doing the will of God. Is that clear? The kingdom of God is not about a place. It's about the place that God is to have in our hearts. So when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, listen, you've been talking all about this kingdom. Where is this kingdom? And Jesus said what? The kingdom of God is where? Within you. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about God reigning supreme in our lives. It's not a place as much as it is the place that God wants to have in our lives. So when we go back to Matthew 24, 14, when Jesus says this gospel of the kingdom, when it's preached to the entire world, then the end will come. Then we've got to ask the question, well, now that we know what the kingdom is, what's the gospel? What's the good news of the kingdom of God? In simple terms, the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, is that God, listen, has something better for us. Amen? That this is not the end. And that if you and I want to be part of this great kingdom where God takes rule of our lives, then we need to repent from the kingdoms of this world and allow the kingdom of God to take its place in our lives. And herein lies the ambiguity of the Christian experience. For we are citizens of two countries. We're part of the kingdom of God, but we're also part of this world. And there's this great tension when you're in the kingdom of God, but you're living in the kingdom of this world. And why is that? Because the value system of the kingdom of this world is completely antithetical to the value system of the kingdom of God. So there will always be this great tension between God reigning in our hearts and you and I living in this world. I love the way the great theologian George Ladd put it. He described it this way. He says, the kingdom is all about the already and the not yet. You and I can experience the kingdom of God already, but there's an aspect to the kingdom that you and I will not experience until Jesus comes at his second coming and brings the kingdom into its fullness. So there'll always be this tension between trying to do and live according to the values and the principles of God's kingdom while living in a physical kingdom that is at war with the very principles and the value system of the kingdom of God. For the gospel of the kingdom basically says this: this is not all that there is. For Jesus is coming again. Who says amen to that? But this time, listen, when he comes, he's not coming to suffer. He's coming to reign. So in order to be part of the kingdom then, I've got to be part of the kingdom now. I've got to allow God and his values and the principles of his kingdom to reign in my life now if I ever want to be part of the kingdom of God then. I must be willing to live according to the principles and the value systems of the kingdom of God, which are no way in alignment with the principles and the value systems of the kingdom of this world. So in Matthew 24 and 14, Jesus says that this gospel, this good news, that this is not the end, that Jesus is going to come and bring his kingdom in its fullness, is of such a powerful magnitude, he says it will spread throughout the entire world, regardless of whatever walls man may put up. It is going to transcend beyond the walls, even the man-made walls that we have in our nation today and in our world. Walls of prejudice, walls of policy, walls of position that serve not to keep people in, but they serve to keep people out, the very people God wants to be part of his kingdom. God is telling us today in his word, my gospel goes beyond the walls. Because any man-made walls of Jericho, they will ultimately come tumbling down. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 24, 14. He says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Didn't say it might be preached, or it would be nice if it was preached, or, you know, I wish it would be preached. Jesus says it will be preached. Meaning there is no barrier that man can build that can prevent the good news of Jesus and the kingdom of God moving forward. And I love how this reads in the Greek. When it says preach, it means to proclaim with passion. In other words, the values of the kingdom of God, if I'm a citizen of the kingdom, I've got to proclaim those values with passion. Listen, and it doesn't mean just preaching them. It means living those values with passion because they're part of the value system of the kingdom of God. So whatever God's kingdom stands for, if I'm a citizen of the kingdom, I've got to stand for those values as well. Amen? Even though I live in a world in another kingdom that is antithetical and in total opposition to the very kingdom of God. If I'm going to be a citizen, I've got to live beyond the walls of this kingdom.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Beyond the Walls. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
I'm going to take a moment and just recommend that you breathe. Now, there are all kinds of breathing techniques that you can use. One is count to 10, you know, breathing in, count to 10, breathing out, kind of hold it in the middle, you know, breathing in His grace and breathing out His praise. Whatever you choose, breath is really important. And this time of year, you know, you may have a cold or you may have the flu and it's restricting your breathing. So you know just how important that is. God has given you that breath. In Acts, Paul wrote this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." And so take a moment and take a deep breath and stay encouraged.
To get more encouraging content, go to WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and it's easy to become trapped in walls we've constructed. Walls of prejudice, policies, and positions that keep others out. So, with all these walls, how do we advance God's kingdom here on earth? Charles Tapp tackles this difficult issue as he concludes his message, Beyond the Walls.
I love what Paul says about the kingdom of God. Turn to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He said, "For the kingdom of God is what? Not eating and drinking. But the kingdom of God is all about what? Righteousness and peace." And what else? "Joy in the Holy Spirit." What is Paul talking about? Paul is talking to the believers at Rome who were fighting, you remember this? Over disputable issues. Things like that if meat has already been offered to idols, can we eat it or not? They were fighting over these kinds of issues. And Paul says, stop your bickering over disputable matters that are not salvific in nature. He says, for the kingdom of God transcends food. The kingdom of God transcends drink. For the kingdom of God, here it is about righteousness. And it is the same word in the Greek for justice. So when God says righteousness, he's talking about justice. Whenever righteousness is used, he's talking about our personal righteousness. But when he talks about justice, it's the other side of the coin, doing what is right for others. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Paul is confronting the believers over this issue, and he's saying the kingdom of God is bigger than these issues. But the kingdom of God and the principles and the values of the kingdom of God are all about doing what is right, not just for yourselves, but doing what is right for others as well. And because we are citizens of the kingdom, it is up to us to proclaim with passion and to bear witness to the values and the principles of the kingdom of God. So if the kingdom of God is about justice and righteousness, as a citizen of the kingdom, I've got to proclaim justice and righteousness with passion because God is reigning within me. Amen? In other words, the goal of the church is to advance the principles of the kingdom of God. Look at what William Law says as it relates to the kingdom of God and how important the kingdom of God is. Look at what he says here. If you have not chosen the kingdom of God first, it will in the end make no difference what you have chosen instead. Do you get that? If you have not chosen the kingdom of God and his reign in your life first, it really doesn't make any difference what you've chosen in this place. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, seek you first what? The kingdom of God is not about a place. It's about the place God is to have in my life. But here's the challenge. Here's where it gets sticky. And I'm going to say this kindly, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. Just because you're a member of the church doesn't make you a citizen of the kingdom of God. See, I can have my name on the church roll, but if God isn't reigning in my heart, I'm not a member of the kingdom. And that's one of the reasons why many look at the church today as being impotent and irrelevant. Even some within the church look at the church as being impotent and irrelevant. Why? Because in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, the church has lost its prophetic zeal and has been reduced to an irrelevant social club. People are looking and asking, why do I need to be a member of the church? You guys don't do anything but come together with yourselves and sing to yourselves and talk to yourselves and eat with yourselves, and I can do that by being a member of another club. So people look at the church today and they're going, where is your power? Because we're part of the church, but we're not part of the kingdom. Because if we're part of the kingdom, then the principles and the values of the kingdom will be demonstrated through our lives. You see, we've confused this. We've been taught for so long that the goal of the Christian is to get to heaven. I'm sorry for popping your bubble. The goal of the Christian is not to get to heaven. Let's make that clear. The goal of the Christian is to bring heaven to the earth through the principles and the values of the kingdom. So heaven is always in my heart, because although I'm in this world, I'm also part of the kingdom of God. And let me just say this, the kingdom of God transcends not only the church, but it also transcends its organizational structure. As a matter of fact, and I say as a matter of fact because facts do matter, the church has been guilty of erecting its own walls, not to protect those that are already within, but to keep those from coming in who are without. And we do it through our prejudices. We do it through our policies. And we do it with the positions that we hold dear. We set up these barriers. We set up these walls, not to protect those on the inside, but to keep those unwanted on the outside. And Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, that this gospel is going to go throughout the world. It is going to go through every barrier, every wall, no matter who it is who sets up that wall. For the gospel of the kingdom goes beyond walls. Because when God is ready, every man-made wall is going to come tumbling down. Even those the church has erected. Matthew 24:14. Is not a hope, it's a prophecy. Jesus says, the gospel is going to be preached. It's going to transcend every barrier and every wall, and then the end is going to come. So here's what we've got to decide today. For it's not enough for us to teach prophecy. It's not enough for us to even preach prophecy. We've got to be willing to live prophecy. And by living prophecy, that means I've got to adhere to the principles and values of the kingdom of God, which is the gospel of the kingdom. Because Jesus says, it's going to happen one way or the other. So I've got to make up my mind, and you've got to make up your mind. Do you want more than just being a church member, or do you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? Because if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, where there is injustice, you can't just sit back and do and say nothing. If I hear one more time, the church shouldn't be involved in that. Really? If not the church, then whom? If not those who supposedly stand for the values and the principles of the kingdom of God, then who? I just want to know. If I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, when walls are put up to keep people out based on their background, their color, their skin, their nationality, I just can't sit back and go, oh, that's too bad. If walls are put up within the church and say that certain people can't serve due because of their age or their background or their gender, I can't put up with that. There are those who are citizens of the kingdom who are not members of the church. And there are those who are members of the church that are not citizens of the kingdom. But this gospel is going forward. It's going to go through walls, under walls, not down walls. So I've got to decide, and you've got to decide, that preaching prophecy, and that's good, and studying prophecy, that's great. But if I'm not willing to live the prophecy, which is the gospel of the kingdom, which is going to usher in the end and Jesus' return, doesn't matter what prophecies I know, if I'm not willing to live it. Our challenge today as the church is to advance the mission of the kingdom right where we are. We don't have to go to Africa, right here in the DMV, right on your job, in your neighborhood, in your home. That's where we advance the kingdom of God. It's time. Here's what I've come to grips with. I've heard people say, well, things are just getting so bad, Charlotte. I've never seen things like this before where the entire world is being impacted. God has to bring this world to a point where we will desire his kingdom. So I don't know about you. I'm tired of church membership. Membership has its privileges. Being a kingdom member and citizen has its responsibilities. So I'm tired of being just a member. I want to be part of the kingdom of God that stands for the values and the principles of the kingdom, which are righteousness and justice and peace. Jesus never said in the Beatitudes, be a peacekeeper. What did he say? Be a peace what? Maker. In other words, you've got to go where there is no peace and make peace. Do you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? That's what I want. Because if I'm not a citizen of the kingdom, I don't want this. I don't want this. The Pharisees asked, where's the kingdom? Our response should be, the kingdom is within me. And I'm going to live out the gospel of the kingdom wherever I am. What it stands for, its values, and its principles. Because that's what a citizen of the kingdom does. It carries out the will of the king. And that's why when we pray, we call him Lord.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Beyond the Walls. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
It will not only help you to be successful, you'll have my imprint of my culture, of my nature, my values and morals in your life.
That's a sample of what you'll hear next week as Charles Tapp shares the second part in this series with a message titled Generous Justice. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.